Manganese project, and that's comprising two parts. One is the Emily Manganese deposit in Emily, Minnesota, and that's the highest grade manganese deposit in North America. It's about, say, double our nearest competitor, and, you know, as much as 3x some of the other.
Wow.
And then the second part of that project is building a 200,000 ton per year PHPMSM plant with a 10,000 ton per year electrolytic manganese metal circuit somewhere down in the Gulf Coast, Houston, Louisiana area.
Good day, everybody. It's me, Steve Yang here, Natural Resource Stocks. I have with me Brian Savage, CEO and Director of Electric Metals. Brian, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Brian, before we get started, if you can start with the ticker website where you guys are trading.
Sure. TSX Venture Exchange under EML and the OTCQB under EMUS. And our website is electricmetals.com.
All right. And Brian, for those who are not familiar with your story, tell me about Electric Metals. If you can give me the, you know, 30,000 foot view, just kind of big picture, what the story is all about, why you guys are relevant.
Sure. So we're advancing what we're calling the North Star Manganese Project. And that's comprising two parts. One is the Emily Manganese deposit in Emily, Minnesota. And that's the highest grade manganese deposit in North America. It's about, say, double our nearest competitor, and, you know, as much as 3x some of the other.
Wow.
And then the second part of that project is building a 200,000 ton per year PHPMSM plant with a 10,000 ton per year electrolytic manganese metal circuit somewhere down in the Gulf Coast, Houston, Louisiana area.
Brian, I believe your flagship is Emily, if you can kind of help me understand where it's located. I know that Minnesota is involved. I don't exactly understand the different nuances of that. If you can kind of flesh that out for us and tell us kind of what you're finding.
Yeah, so it's about central Minnesota. If you wanted to go kind of almost due north of the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and then kind of due west of Duluth, you kind of get about where the Emily deposit is. It's got really good infrastructure. There's power, roads, railroads. So from a location perspective, it's very good.
And then how did you guys get connected with this project here, and what drew you to this?
That goes back to one of our directors, Rick Sandry. He has been in Minnesota for last 20-ish years. He was CEO of Duluth Metals, sold by Antofagasta. And he was attending a conference, I think, back in 2017 or 18, and the Emily deposit came up, and I would say the rest is history.
Well, Brian, it's not every day I get to talk with a manganese-focused company, and I know it's a critical mineral, but not very many people know what that is, or it's not, you know, some people like rush for gold, but people maybe not doesn't know the manganese story very well. If you can tell us kind of just why that's exciting and why your huge scale is so significant for, you know, the demand that's out there.
Sure. Manganese is the fourth most used metal on the planet. It's got a broad and diversified demand across the modern economy. You know, it's primarily used in making steel, but it's essential in electric vehicle and energy or grid storage batteries. It's also used in alkaline batteries. That's the AA's, AAA's, C's, D's, electronics. It's used as a fertilizer, water treatment, beverage cans and bottles, and critical defense applications, including drones and armor. It's fundamental to the infrastructure supporting the modern economy, roads, bridges, railways, buildings, data centers. There's very few metals that are as essential to today's economy.
Brian, I'd love to ask you what stage you're in. What kind of project are you in? The greenfield exploration? Are you Is it brownfield? Are we talking, are you guys are close to production? If you can kind of spell that out for me.
Is there something called advanced brownfield? U.S. Steel put together an open pit mine plan for the Emily deposit back in 1959. And that was back in the day when U.S. Steel really, really, really knew what they were doing when it came to mine development. And so that's, we say we've got the pirate's map for the deposit. So at the current state, we're technically a PEA stage. So we published our PEA about a year ago, at a 10% cutoff grade. We've got about 11 million tons of roughly 17, 18% manganese ore. We're looking to develop an underground mine at about 500,000 tons a year capacity. That would, that's a relatively small mine in the grand scheme of things. And that would give us, call it 20-ish plus years of production. Now that's only based on kind of what we'll call the currently drilled out portion. So there's about another 40, 45% of the known deposit that we haven't drilled out. But we've got historic drill holes from U.S. Steel and Pickens Bathurst that are plus 50% manganese ore. So we have a pretty good idea of the deposits there.
So, are you utilizing old data? Are you relying on old data? Are you so just so that I'm understanding, in terms of indicated inferred, what do you think you have, and what still needs to be done for it to be the next step before you see production?
Yeah, that's indicated inferred that I was mentioning before, the roughly 11 million tons at a 10% cutoff, about 18%, 17, 18% average manganese grade. That was primarily based on our 2023 drill program with some of the historic drill holes that our QPs allowed us to bring into that estimate. If we want to move it to the next level, which is getting reserves and getting through feasibility study, we're going to need to drill. We're going to need to drill some more holes, but I don't anticipate it's going to be a huge, expensive program. And I guess that's another function of what you think is huge and expensive. I'm thinking somewhere between 10 and 15 million drill program that could go a very long way to getting this through feasibility study. That's going to be, we need to do additional reserve estimation. We need to do some more hydrology work, geotechnical work, because it's going to be an underground mine. So we really need to understand the rock mechanics that are going on. So that's really primarily what the drilling is going to be responsible for. And of course, more metallurgical test work.
Brian, just correct me if I'm wrong, but Eric Sprott seems pretty involved with the company. Can you discuss that and just kind of him buying in? And I'd love to see, get your thoughts on what makes him excited about your company.
He is a just under a 10% shareholder. He likes the manganese story. So we're happy that he's involved with our company. He's the second largest shareholder at the moment.
And then you guys have like what about almost the 30% insiders? Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's a pretty accurate number.
And then are you looking to increase institutions or attract institutions? And then if you can tell us a little bit about just kind of the skin that you have in the game and the people in the
Yeah,
inside.
so we're looking at attracting the entire chain from
Yeah.
retail investors through larger investment funds. At the moment, we're maybe on the radar screen of some of the larger guys, but given our current market capitalization, they may be watching us, but we're too small for a lot of those institutions to get in. So we're looking for retail, high net worth, family office, and then letting everybody know that we're coming so that we're on their radar screen.
Where are you with market cap? And if you can also give me your share structure.
We are about 40 million market cap. We have just about 202 million shares outstanding. And then on a fully diluted basis, I believe that's about 240 million. We've got a round of warrants that expire October, November of this year that could bring in another 3.1 million Canadian. Those are 20 cent warrants.
Okay.
Another round of warrants that expire into 2027. I think that pushes that out into maybe about the same time frame, and those are 45 cent warrants.
And how well do you know everybody in the register?
I can identify about 60% of the shareholders.
Okay. So you guys have a pretty tight share structure. Are you, can you, how much cash do you have on hand, and how far does that take you?
Yeah, we've got a couple $1 million in the bank,
Canadian.
Canadian. We have agreed to sell our Nevada silver assets for $3.5 million. We've gotten $350,000 in the door. We are waiting for the next, or I should say, the final payment of all that. So that would bring in another 3.2 million, and then, as I mentioned before, kind of October, November time frame. There's about 3.1 million Canadian of warrants that could be exercised. One of the things that we're doing, obviously our share price is around 20 cents Canadian, right at the warrant price. So we're looking to talk to people and get more eyes on us to see if we can't get that share price up to the point where people are going to be exercising these options.
Brian, the manganese story, I think, is underappreciated. Love to get your thoughts on where you are with market cap and where you think you guys could be in relationship to your peers. I know you mentioned your scale. If you can also maybe discuss a little bit about maybe grade or just kind of just a why is a guy like Eric Sprott excited? And what kind of scale are we talking about? And tell if you can break that down for me.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. Most people don't know anything about manganese, much being able to pronounce it. So that's, that's one of the tricks that we've got, especially when we've got forecasts of $20,000 an ounce gold. It's hard to turn people's heads towards manganese, but it's a critical mineral story in the United States. The United States has a manganese supply chain. That's very true. It's 100% foreign. We have no domestic ore production. We produce no high-purity manganese sulfate monohydrate for the electric vehicle and energy storage, grid storage, batteries.
That's a problem. Brian, tell me about just kind of first of all, I'd like to know more about Minnesota as a jurisdiction. It's a pretty different jurisdiction than a lot of the mining companies I speak with. If you can tell me about, it's just the permitting and community side of it, as well as if you can break down and help me understand better the whole golf side of it.
Yeah, an elephant in the room, permitting in Minnesota, not known for its accelerated permitting. And that is primarily the sulfide deposits up near the Boundary Water. So that Minnesota has absolutely world-class nickel, cobalt, copper, sulfide deposits. There's no question about that. We are in the Cuyuna Iron Range. It was a historic iron range. They actually produced manganese for the United States up until the early 60s. We're a manganiferous iron deposit, and our primary manganese ore is manganine, which is manganese oxide hydroxide. We've got no sulfides in our ore. In fact, we've got only trace amounts of sulfur. So there's no way that we're going to be able to produce sulfuric acid. Impossible. Comes from to permitting. We suspect that we'll be coming down the iron side of the permitting, not the non-ferrous side of the permitting. And so I would expect it would be easier. Not easy. We're going to have to go through the entire process and go through all those steps. But we're not going to be producing sulfuric acid, and that's what most of the activists are unhappy about. We don't have any federal land, so FAST-41 is going to be more challenging. I have had conversations with the FAST-41 people, who are supportive, and eventually we're going to have a federal permit, blasting, for example. So eventually we need one, and eventually they'll be able to potentially step in and accelerate things. But our main goal is going to be working as well as we possibly can with the current permitting requirements. And, you know, as I mentioned before, Rick Sandry's been in Minnesota for 20 years. He understands the permitting. I'd like to say that he's a pretty well-liked guy in Minnesota. So, you know, so from that perspective, that always helps. The other aspect of this is that we're not a huge operation. We're not a $2 billion mine development project. You know, this is $150, $200 million underground mining operation. It is not a big mining operation. And so it should have a very small footprint and should not cause any kind of substantial disruption or any disruption at all, really.
Brian, if you can tell us a little bit about the main milestones you have in place, what people can look forward to, and then if you can tell us a little bit more about your kind of yourself and the experience that you bring, as well as the, you know, how much skin you have in the game here to see this succeed.
Sure. So we've got, my personal skin in the game is options. You know, when they recruited me, they were looking for somebody who had experience in manganese. And I go back to, I'll say 2010, when I kind of kicked off my manganese interest experience. And that was back in the Democratic Republic of Congo, trying to get a JV done on a manganese deposit. And kind of fast forward, I've been taking a look at the peer group of other manganese companies. You know, I know the head manganese ore trader at Glencore, Traxys, Wogen, kind of go down the list of potential off-takers and understanding high-purity manganese sulfate, monohydrate, electric manganese metal, electric manganese dioxide, how and where it's used. I'm a educated mining engineer, got a Bachelor of Science in Mining Engineering from Colorado School of Mines, Master of Science in Mineral Economics from Colorado School of Mines as well, was mining engineer for Bank of New York, director of Bank Montreal's mining and metal group back in the 90s, and then what's now called BMO Capital Markets, and kind of been around the world looking and advancing and developing projects in what I call interesting jurisdictions.
If you can tell us any news that we can look forward to.
Hopefully we've got the news that we've got the $3.2 million from Amirix. We kicked off an FEL1 scoping study on the HPMSM process plant with an EMM circuit. We would expect that to be announced probably just after Labor Day. So that actually current results from that have been very, very positive. So that's going to be some good news. We completed a DIGBI certification on our corporate governance, and we expect to have that review completed in the next 3 to 4 weeks to pretty much say that our corporate governance is pretty good for our current stage of development. So we're excited about that. And then I've really tasked ourselves with putting out relevant news about it every 2 weeks to keep the market informed. So we've been doing a lot on the geology, mineralogy, technical side, and those all that work that has been going on is now coming to fruition. And so we would expect to be announcing those positive results as we're going forward. You know, one of those, for example, was our ore sorting. We can do a lot more work on ore sorting. You know, one of the things in the original PEA, we gave zero revenue to iron. And no. we have a pretty good idea that we're going to be able to generate an iron product to provide some revenue.
Brian, if people want to reach out to you with questions, how do they do it? I just want to, first of all, before doing that, I want to disclose that I am currently not an investor, although I am very bullish on the manganese story and love to continue to follow your story. If people have any questions, how do they reach out to you? How do they follow your ticker? If you can give this website and stuff one more time.
Sure. They can send an email to info@electricmetals.com. And I check that as well. Our ticker again is TSX Venture Exchange, EML, and OTCQB, EMUS. Website is electricmetals.com. Got lots of information there. Any other questions, feel free to fire away.
Electric Metals, Brian, have not paid for this interview. I am looking forward to following your story, Brian. I am grateful for your time, and let's see where things go. But it's a good time to invest in manganese in my mind. But who knows where this world is going? All right, Brian, thanks so much.
We are in interesting times.
It is interesting time indeed. All right, be good, my friend. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you very much.